Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
The Champions League is back. The groups are looking very tasty. And I just want to run through which Premier League side we think will go the furthest. So first up to discuss is Manchester City.
Quarterfinals, semifinals, I think. It really depends on the draw. That's the thing. I mean, they're going to get out of their group. It's a pretty safe...
Aren't they in the statistically favourite group to produce winners?
Group F, right? Is it all winners a group from Group F or something? I can't remember.
It's like 40% of the last 15 or something.
40% of the last 15 have come from
that
group.
That's a classic.
That's a really weird anomaly. But I think they'll do very well. I think they'll come out of the group. I think they'll make it past the round of 16 probably, unless they get some sort of absurd... Like the runner-up from Group D, for example, the Barcelona and Tottenham monster group of death. But otherwise, I would imagine they'll do well. But the thing is, after the round 16, it honestly just depends on the draw. It's hard to predict beyond that. Like with most teams, like I think.
But this is the thing. The way I sort of perceive it is like, again, Champions League is not a league season.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Competition. So Man City as well, they still haven't shown really that they're a competition side.
It's a cup game.
So the fact that they're so dependent on who they draw makes me think that they're less likely to go far.
Like I said, I think quarterfinals definitely. Beyond that, it just depends on the draw.
But I think the key thing is what happens. Obviously, when does De Bruyne come back, and what do they do without him? I think, and Bernardo Silva is a really really good answer at the moment. For Portugal in the Euros, he was playing almost centrally, and I was watching him in the Euros, and I think I just. I was so jealous that Man City had this player and he hadn't been used. And then De Bruyne's injuries has given them a pathway into the side. He's played right wing, he's played as a number eight. And now he's looking like one of their most talented players.
I mean, yeah, we thought it was going to be he was going to replace David Silva. And I think he still will in the long term.
It's just De Bruyne is not there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's funny because obviously we thought that would be the transition they make this season or next season. They'll move Silva out, bring Bernardo in. And instead it's just been, oh God, De Bruyne's injured. Oh, could you come in now, Bernardo? He's like, yeah, no problem.
Well, that's what I mean. Now they're playing two very similar players, but they're working in tandem and they look great. Obviously, Sané comes back in and with a minute scores, so he's still useful. But we sort of were right to highlight about him. Like I know Mendy was out in that game, but Delf comes in, looks really comfortable again, lets Leroy Sané play out wide.
Yeah, but
was drifting in a bit more.
That's it, isn't it?
What I mean. And Pep Guardiola, the reason they could go far in the Champions League is now he's got about four different teams that play in a completely different way, or they're all born out of the same philosophy, but they can all employ a slightly different tactical approach, which, again, that's what you want in a sort of competition, is can he now adapt to these teams? But I expect them to walk through their group. They're so good that they should be able to do that. They've got an incredible pool of players, and I just don't. I think the fact that there are teams that are very good against them. If they get Liverpool again, they've got such a glaring weakness. It's almost like a sort of Pokemon card. No one's they're super effective against a lot of people, but one team is super effective against them. One type. So you're less likely to draw that team, but if they do get it, then they usually just lose.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bernardo Silva is huge. I think he's basically turning into the new De Bruyne. Like, you know, I think having him around is going to be massive, because it just means that De Bruyne doesn't have to be rushed back from injury, which is always the thing when your best player, when one of your best players gets injured, your temptation is, okay, he's fit, quick, get him back in. City can now afford to take their time with him, because Kevin De Bruyne was the best midfielder in the Premier League, right? That's not a question. And it's like, you think, oh, they've lost him, they're going to be in trouble. And Pep Guardiola, since he's lost De Bruyne, he's played a really cool 3-5-2 formation, which doesn't need a dominant central midfielder like that. And then now he's just sort of said, okay, Kevin's injured. Well, I'll just make Bernardo the best central midfielder in the league as well. You know, and he has done. And he has. Bernardo Silva is the best central midfielder. It looks like. It's one game. But
The David Silva next to him is probably still better.
Yeah. David Silva helps a lot. But, you know, just Bernardo Silva already looks just effortlessly world-class in central midfield, which is... It's a testament to both him and to Pep Guardiola. But I think, City, I think... quarterfinals, or then more is draw dependent.
Personally, I think they're going to go all the way.
Really? That's Ooh. A bold shout.
Indeed. I think
who asked the host to talk?
I think Guardiola is going to have learned his lessons from the last couple of seasons. Yeah, obviously, they sort of threw it away against Monaco. Were blitzed by Liverpool. I'd back him to sort of.
That's what I mean.
Have figured out how to change his approach
against
those teams. That's what I'm
saying.
Now
he's got a couple of little
3-5-2, and Laporte being established will help, because Laporte is obviously now going to be their best defender. So that will be a big thing against the transition.
Okay, what about Liverpool?
Oh, they're going to this is the one for me. They're going to go not win it, but I think they'll be back to the final. I think
to the final.
I think if they draw Barcelona, Real Madrid, or Juventus, these experienced sides in the semis, then maybe they won't. But I think they'll definitely make the semis. Again, unless they draw one of these three sides. There are three sides, I think, that can beat them, and not because of any tactical thing, just because they're just more experienced and more capable of navigating big European titles. I think Barcelona could beat them, Real Madrid, and Juventus, because Juventus have
Barcelona
the big man.
Experience in navigating titles. Well, threw it away against Roma, Liverpool pumped.
That's true. that is true. But
I'm just trying to dig at you.
No. Barcelona certainly... capable of throwing things away, but at the same time, they've got Messi, now they've got Coutinho, now they've got Dembele, they've got those two actually embedded in. Their talent deficiency is not like it was last year, so that will help them. Madrid have just got oodles of experience even without the big man, and the big man is now at Juventus, who previously had loads of experience. And so I think one of those three teams could beat Liverpool, but I think otherwise
I just think with that front three are built for, again, like Champions League is essentially, when you get into knockout stages, is elite competition versus elite competition, and being able to counter attack is so valuable, because you're not expected to dominate the ball. There can be games where it is 50-50 possession. So having genuinely the most prolific front three in Champions League history up front, first ever three players to score 10 goals in a season last year, beating the likes of MSN and Benzema, Bale and Ronaldo at Real Madrid. So having those three, Salah, again, so important. And although he hasn't scored a lot this season, if you look at his statistics, he's more creative this season, joint most chances created in the Premier League. Firmino's, again, we're saying, if Giroud is the best sort of traditional target man, Firmino is up there in sort of like a pseudo target link man, at least not a target man, but a link man. So I'm expecting him to have another really good Champions League season. And Mane, although he looks sort of a bit odd and is making those classic Mane decisions, should have given away a penalty really in that Liverpool game. He's found his goal scoring form and obviously got 10 last season as well. So Liverpool, that front three is the reason I think they'll go far, because they've got Gomez and Van Dijk now as a base. As we said, the group of midfielders they have is very balanced. They can tweak it subtly, but if worst case scenario happened and they were under the cosh, they have three incredible forward players that they can rely on. And I think they can rely on them. And I think that's why they will go the furthest out of the English teams.
I think the big question with Liverpool is how they're going to balance the Champions League and the Premier League. Because let's not forget, last season they could pretty much put all their eggs in the Champions League basket. Yeah. By the time the sort of knockouts came around, they just sort of coasted to the top four. I see them as City's main challenges for the title this season. It'll be interesting come February, come March, and they're balancing a game where they're, 3 points off going top spot in the Premier League. Let's see then how they cope with
the answers to that are Sturridge, Shaqiri, Fabinho, Henderson, Klein. That's what I mean, is although they could put the eggs in their basket, they only had one good 11 last season. They've now got five players that you can drop in and drop out, and you shouldn't be able to change the team too much. So I think they are, on paper, they're prepared for it. Again, as you said, in practice, everyone could be knackered, injuries could strike, and that, as long as that front three are fit and stable.
Managing fatigue is huge for Klopp. It always has been his Achilles heel, because his side is so intense. Shaqiri and Sturridge will help, but ultimately, Liverpool's team is so built around that front three that even if you're playing crunch Premier League games every weekend, it's hard to rotate two of your front three. I don't know if he'll do it. Maybe he will, and that will be huge and bold, and maybe it will actually work out for him. I mean, Real Madrid have always had a problem managing fatigue, managing rotations. The one season they won both La Liga, the first domestic double since the 50s was 16-17, because literally they could rest Benzema, Isco and Cristiano and play James Rodriguez and Alvaro Morata. So if you have trust in your backups, and your backups are that productive and consistent as Madrid's were, then Liverpool could maybe handle it. But it's a question, because both Sturridge and Shaqiri have always been kind of maverick players. They're not really what you would call like consistent and reliable. So let's see if Liverpool can get them rolling, then yeah, then it's going to be interesting. But Liverpool, obviously managing fatigue is a big thing. And the other thing is how they defend the space between their midfield and their defence, because that's where the big boys play football. That's where the elite teams, that's where your Pjanic's, your Dybala's, your Messi's, your Coutinho's, your Isco's, your Toni Kroos's. That's where they make their...
I didn't know there were so many Isco's.
That's where they do their business. And it's like, that's Liverpool's main weakness. Is Jordan Henderson or Wijnaldum is good, but not.
But that's what we're saying. We're saying they might have found that.
Yeah, well, it's Fabinho's going to have to come good, basically. So
those are the midfield they've got now.
Well,
that's what I mean. Just like.
Let's see. They haven't played anyone really elite yet, so let's see how they manage the space.
Okay, that's enough for Liverpool. What do we think about Manchester United?
Oh, no, that's not
how this one goes. Flop to the season. They might not even get out of the group, in all honesty. They are. A really, really talented side managed by an absolute dinosaur. If they get out of the group, it'll be because they've just got lots of individual players that play well, and because Mourinho sort of accidentally stumbled into this diamond formation. You know, if Valencia can outplay them, they'll be lucky. If they get out of the group, then all right, well done. But honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if they don't get out of the group.
They've got Wonderboy coming back home as well. He's obviously got quite a good record against them in the Champions
League. Yeah, he scored both times he's played them. I think
Juventus are a team that Man United will struggle against. Valencia are sort of under the radar in the sense that although they're struggling in La Liga at the moment, some very talented players in that squad that will cause more problems than people think. And
if Kondogbia's injury isn't too serious, then and if he's fit to play Man United, I don't know if he's going to be. Obviously, he went off the weekend injured. If he's fit to play Man United, I would back Valencia to certainly beat Man United at the Mestalla. I don't know about Old Trafford, maybe get a draw. But look, Mourinho is his old school approach to things.
But he is the thing is with Mourinho, he's a competition sort of manager. I've always said that the things I criticise him for is like a lack of a philosophy in terms of a game by game. And the reason he'd be sort of a good like national team manager, I think, is because he'd be similar to Deschamps in the fact that despite having all this individual talent, he set out a team to win games. World Cup.
I think Deschamps is better. If Deschamps was Mourinho 10 years ago, I think you look at Mourinho, he's even sort of lost that, because if you look at Sevilla, first leg, he literally dropped Paul Pogba for McTominay to make a point in a knockout round against Sevilla, and he was happy to play for a 0-0 away from home. Like, and everyone knows that that's actually not a good scoreline, because the away goal then suddenly comes into play for your opponent and not for you. And it would be interesting, it'd be fun if Man United could sort of sort themselves out, because they do play a different kind of football, more defensive, and a diamond has proven successful in the Champions League recently, as Real Madrid can attest. So it would be fun if they could advance to knockout rounds and do really well, because they're just a different kind of elite team. They play a different kind of football. They're more defensive. It would just give more flavours for the knockout rounds. I don't think they will. I think if they make it to the knockout rounds, they'll get knocked out in the round of 16 or at most quarterfinals. But I think they'll struggle to make it out of the group, to be perfectly honest.
I think Alexis Sanchez's form will be entirely dependent on it. He was notoriously really good for Arsenal in the Champions League. Mm. And during his time there, he had the most goals and most assists in that competition, was topping the assist charts, despite the fact that Arsenal went out in the last 16 every year. So if he can finally find that form, I think he again came into a lot of criticism at the weekend. I think it's 3 goals in 23 games at Man United, which, if you look at his record at Arsenal, that's complete contrast. So again, Lukaku's scoring, Lingard looks good in this sort of free role, but they need Alexis Sanchez to channel his inner Arsenal and come out in that Champions League stage for them to do well. Again, I was sort of devil's advocate there. I don't necessarily think they will do well, but if Mourinho is going to do well in one sort of area, I think it is in this sort of Champions League game-by-game thing. It's just whether he's lost that knack or the other teams are almost too good now. Because I think Champions League this year, again, even in Man United's group, is very tough.
Yeah, there's no favourite in the Champions League this year. I think it's wide open. So, yeah, anything could happen. But Mourinho has to... I think, honestly, the harder thing for Manchester United might even be getting out of the group. I think once they get out of the group, maybe with a bit of momentum behind them, maybe in January, maybe in the knockout rounds, they would do well. But I think getting out of the group itself, because they've got such a tough one, is actually going to be very difficult.
Mm. And what do we think of Spurs, obviously, out in the round of 16?
That's where I should have said the song.
Oh, Spurs are... Oh, dear me. That's a hard group, isn't it? That's not... that's literally one easy game, which is PSV at home, and that's it.
No, I don't even think that's necessarily easy.
That's a brutal group, man.
Have you seen PSV have like scored 5+ goals in their last 3 games?
No, they're a very good side. I'm just saying.
I don't think people realise how sort of attacking they are and how potent they are.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's Eredivisie, but not everyone scores. You don't score 7 goals, 6 goals a game. It's not good.
Chucky's Lozano going to rock up to Wembley and.
Well, they've got
two
really good young wingers that are going to definitely cause problems. And I think if. The amount of space they were giving sort of in between channels, like Eric Dier looked lost against Liverpool, and if he can't anchor the same way that we were saying about Liverpool not defending that space, PSV, even if they go to Wembley or MK Dons or wherever it's going to be played in the Champions League, there will be space to exploit. And you don't want to ask Germany what Lozano can do with a bit of space to run into. So,
and you put Barcelona on that big Wembley pitch, and
Messi quite likes Wembley.
Messi likes Wembley. That's not gonna be a good time for Spurs, especially if they keep playing. This is the thing, and we all thought Spurs were going to kick on because they looked pretty tasty and everything at the start, and they smashed United, but they were really bad against Liverpool. Now I don't know if that's because international break, Harry Kane's just not firing, Dele Alli was injured, whatever. But they really looked awful. And if Liverpool are still not really playing 100% themselves, like they created loads of chances. If they were playing 100%, they would have won that game like 6-0 or something. It's, you know, Pochettino hates Barcelona, so you figure they'll be very up for those games at the very least, and he's always done well against Barcelona. But that's playing against Messi on Wembley with all the spaces they're going to give away in between the lines. I mean, they must be praying Wanyama gets fit, like really fully fit soon. The thing is, Inter aren't exactly a rollover.
Yeah, but they've also started quite bad. Yes.
I think crucially for Spurs, they got Inter away, then Barcelona at home.
Yeah.
So they've got a chance to sort of set their stall out. If they win at Inter, then they can approach that Barca game. We'll take a point 4 and they'll be looking pretty good.
Luckily for them, Inter aren't, like Jake says, Inter aren't in good form, but... Barcelona at home. I mean, I'm really annoyed that it's not actually going to be Milton Keynes, because Messi playing in Milton Keynes just sounds hilarious to me. But it's at Wembley, so fine. But yeah, like Jake says, Messi likes Wembley. Barcelona have won the Champions League twice there. They like that stadium. Valverde loves big games. His problems have been in smaller games against weaker opponents. In big games, in big stadiums, he enjoys it. He thrives there. And yeah, you just look at... It would be really, really fun to watch that battle, because Poch has always done well against Barcelona. His Espanyol teams were hilariously outgunned. They didn't necessarily win many games. They won one in the Camp Nou, but they always competed against Barcelona. They always gave Barca hell. And they pressed high and they were so ferocious and so up for it. So it's going to be really fun to watch those games, Barcelona-Spurs. But you worry with the... it's Spurs.
It's just the fact that you can't make any subs.
Yeah, and like they've got such a small squad. They didn't add to their squad again. This is why I really can't believe... He must be so angry with Daniel Levy, because their team is great, but their squad is still so thin. Kane is not playing well, which is a problem. I mean, last year against Real Madrid, two of the big performances they had were Kane was excellent. Eriksen was not so good, but Kane and Winks, the Harries, were absolutely excellent against Real Madrid last year when they beat Real Madrid. And Winks is just working his way up to fitness, doesn't look anywhere close to it. And Kane does...
He needs to start shooting. He's not shooting, that's the thing.
There's something wrong with Big Harry.
You mentioned about their squad not... looking too great, but they've actually got Lamella and Son coming back in. I think Lamella will probably earn himself a start, and I think Son's Champions League player.
Yeah, they're good players, but it's like that sort of when one's fit, someone else is unfit, and that sort of seems to happen with Spurs. If everyone was fit, they would have a decent bench, and they can bring on players, but he never quite seems to have it. So you're saying that it's quite a good, they can put their foot down at the start of those two games. They could also have no points from that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, if they go into their third game with 0 points, then it's going to be...
They won all 6 last year. And again, they like beat Real Madrid twice, so they can do it. They can shake off this sort of like rookie mentality.
And they've got the doubleheader. The doubleheader is against PSV, which is the best thing, because you want the doubleheader to be against the team you can beat the easiest, which I think, you know, again, Inter are... You know, they could be good, they could be bad. But PSV, you'd figure Spurs will have too much for them. So... And that's kind of the game where,
that's what I mean. They take 4 points in before that doubleheader, and then after the doubleheader, they'll be looking at 10, and they'll be looking at through.
If they just beat Inter, that's huge. That alone is massive, because even if they then lose to Barcelona, they've still got 3 points on the board. They've got a doubleheader against PSV. They could come out of it with minimum 9 points. Mm-hmm. So that alone is massive, and then the Camp Nou game is the last game of the group. If they're lucky, Barcelona have already qualified by then. Take it easy. Spurs could easily go there and beat them if Barca aren't at it. So, it's...
So what do you think? I think quarters.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they're going to go too far purely because of stretching.
I think,
and again, just that sort of being able to.
I think round of 16. I think they'll draw a pretty tasty. I think they'll come out of the group. They'll finish second, and I think they'll just draw someone pretty tasty, and they're like, someone too canny for again, kind of like last year where they drew Juventus and they were like they were better than you.
Yeah, they should have beat Juventus.
But they turned off. They didn't know how to manage that tie, how to manage the situation, and Juve just came back and took it from them.
So next up, we've got the potential breakout players from the Champions League, and I want to know who you think is going to announce themselves and do an Mbappe.
No one's going to do an Mbappe. That guy's in, that guy. But I mean, comparatively, I think I like Angel Correa from Atletico Madrid. I think they look pretty ropey right now, but I think by the time the knockouts come around, they'll have sorted themselves out. He's this kind of tricky number 10. He was one of the hottest prospects in Argentina when Atletico got him. And he just sort of has been sort of cooling his heels for the last 3 years, not getting minutes here and there, sort of learning Simeone's system. But he looks really in tune with it now. He's taken the number 10 shirt that Carrasco left behind. He comes off the wing. He creates. He scores. And I just think, because everyone's going to be focusing. When you play Atletico Madrid, you think, okay, I'm just going to mark Costa and mark Griezmann, and then that'll be them sorted out. And I think he's going to then sort of appear in the spaces that those guys leave behind. I think he's going to do well. Also, I mean, I don't think Bernardo Silva counts because of Monaco, but Bernardo Silva's going to have a pretty big season.
Yeah, he's
as well.
Also 24. So
yeah. So I'll stick with Correa. I think Correa is going to have a breakout season.
I think the easy one to sort of be drawn to is the players that I'd pick out. We've mentioned already, so I won't touch too much on them. I think it's really easy to be drawn to someone like Jadon Sancho because Mbappe's role in that Champions League. He didn't play any of the group games and then played every knockout game. So by the time that if Dortmund do progress from their group, Jadon Sancho might have established himself as sort of a starter, and then someone with his skill and ability is always going to cause problems. It doesn't matter who you're against. So his sort of breakout season will be entirely dependent on how the group stage goes. We might see some really nice cameos from him in the group stage. And as I said, he's one of my favourite players and one of the brightest talents in the world at the moment anyway. So he's a really easy pick to make. But I genuinely think Lozano, the fact that there's going to be a lot of eyes on that group because of the players and the teams in it, just in the exact same way he did at the World Cup, this could be the one season where, or even in this group stage, if he scores a couple of goals and proves how deadly he is, how quick he is, how great at dribbling he is, if he can do that, then even in January, someone might be go. We've got. Why do we not get this guy in the summer? Mm-hmm. If he has a good group stage, he could be snapped up immediately. And then there's also Justin Kluivert at Roma, who has potential to turn some heads, being a teenage talent there. Again, I can only see him doing a sort of cameo role. But in terms of what happened with Mbappe, as I said, it was very much like, hold on, this kid is starting against Man City in the knockout stage. Oh, he scored.
Shout out Frankie de Jong as well for Ajax. Frankie de Jong and De Ligt, who I don't know if he made the Europa League final, so I don't know technically
if he's ever breakout. He's the youngest ever finalist in Europe.
I think De Ligt and de Jong.
Again, all these players are sort of, everyone aware of them, but the Champions League now is going to be a very good platform for them to say, this is who I am.
I mean, Barca spent the whole summer trying to sign Frankie de Jong. I think we might actually end up seeing why. We didn't really see it for the international break because he struggled against France, but I think we might see it this season. We might see why. And there might be a few more than just one club after him next summer.
So finally, I want to finish on some quick fire predictions. And I do mean quick
one
fire,
words.
Mo.
Hey, I guarantee you, no more than 3 words for each answer.
So first up, Dark Horse.
I think Valencia.
Jadon Sancho's Dortmund.
Biggest flop.
Napoli.
Mourinho's Man United.
I fancy Bayern Munich
ooh.
Out of the groups and then out. Top scorer?
Ronaldo.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Difficult to look past him, is it? Now he's broken his four game duck.
If someone that has 8 shots a game is going to score goals, like that's the thing.
Yeah, he'll back plenty.
Top assister?
Firmino.
Ooh. Crybaby Neymar.
And then finally, winner?
I think Juventus will do it. This will be it.
I think Barcelona.
Surprising.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy. It's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.